Yes, Brother Jim, God has given you a word for us today, and we want to give you the opportunity to share it.
Okay, God bless you, brethren. It's good to see you, Brother Allen. I believe it was 10 years ago, the last time that I was there. And so God bless you. And I want to introduce my wife, Joanne. She's going to come in. She's had a great desire to come to the Philippines, but has not made it yet.
Yes, I just got there. Hi.
And
bless you.
Yes.
Bless your work.
Yes. Amen.
And we pray for the children often.
Amen. 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 Praise God. So, praise God. I would just like to pray a minute here and kind of gather our thoughts. And we do thank you, Lord. First of all, we thank you for these marvelous testimonies.
Yes.
That you touched some in our midst. It was no small testimony that Jeremy gave. It was a wonderful testimony, and it's a just a glory to God for touching Jeremy and for giving him this opportunity to reach out to someone who's imprisoned. And so we thank you for all that you're doing among the brethren, what you're doing in Philippines, what you're doing in the various parts of the world, and you're opening doors that no one can shut. And you're closing doors that we shouldn't go through. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we thank you for this open door of ministry here today. We pray your blessing that you would open the windows of heaven unto us this day and anoint this time, this word, for this day, for this people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I would like you to turn to 2 Kings, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 11, and I'd like to just to start out just reading a few verses here. 2 Kings chapter 11. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, the sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Verse 4. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with captains in the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you shall enter in at the Sabbath, even be keepers of the watch of the king's house, and a third shall be at the gate of Shur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king, and you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. And the captains over hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them, that they should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. Captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along with the altar of the temple. And they put forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Now we'll stop right there. I would like, first of all, to give you just a little bit of a history of what has transpired to bring this event to this point. Now, first of all, we can't go forth without mentioning a principal player in all of this, who was Jehu. Now, when you read about Jehu, Jehu, son of Nimshi, and it's said that he rode furiously with his chariot. He was a man of action, and the accounts that I read about Jehu, not only was he a man of action, but he was kind of a reckless, he was kind of a reckless character. But nonetheless, God used Jehu. Now I wanna read to you some of the things that God used Jehu to do. First of all, if we back up, he was anointed by Elisha. Remember, he sent the messenger, Elisha sent the messenger to take this box of oil and go to Jehu, and once you anoint him, run. I mean, Jehu was a reckless character. And so he said, anoint him and run for your life. And so Jehu was anointed for this time to purge Israel and to purge Judah. So first of all, he went out into battle. He slew Joram, king of Israel. Now, Joram was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. What kind of stock there? These were devil worshipers, dabbled in sorcery. Jezebel was a witch. Okay, so he slew Joram. He went and slew Ahaziah, who was the king of Judah. Now listen to this. He slew him at Megiddo. And he was the son of Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. We're talking about spirits of darkness being transferred down the road. This is wickedness being propagated to, but notice where these spirits are. These spirits were on the king of Israel. These spirits were on the king of Judah. And they brought all of this sorcery and witchcraft. Now, not only that, some other exploits of Jehu. He was the one that stood at the wall and said, to the eunuchs that were with Jezebel, cast her down. He was instrumental in the death of Jezebel. And also the 70 sons of Ahab. And the list goes on. He also had them gather all the worshipers into the house of Baal under, of course, he was deceiving them. And once they were in there, he slew them all. Now, what kind of man was this? He was not a righteous man, but he was called of God to execute the judgment that was upon the land. Now, I want you to notice here, let's just take a look at the situation here. 2 Kings 11:1. Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, killed in battle by Jehu. She was the daughter, of course, of Jezebel and Ahab. And she moved in the sorcery and witchcraft that her mother, Jezebel, did. Now, when she saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. Now try to, you who are parents, not just mothers, but fathers, this, she was killing her own grandchildren, her own children, if they were alive, the ones that Jehu didn't kill. And for what purpose? Now, this is not to usurp the throne in Israel. She's in Judah. This is Judah. She's in Jerusalem. And Ahaziah was on the throne and he was killed in battle, and she killed the royal seed and usurped the throne. Now, let's read on. But Jehosheba, Jehosheba was the sister, well, we'll read the verse here. She was the sister of Ahaziah, who was slain by Jehu. She took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Now, Jehosheba, she was the daughter, or she was the sister of a king, Ahaziah. But she was also the daughter of a priest. Do you see the difference here? Athaliah is the product of sorcery and witchcraft. Jehosheba was the daughter of a priest, and these were not just ordinary priests. These were the priests of Zadok, chosen. Jehosheba, her name means God is her oath. God is her keeper. Now, I want you to try, if we could, to try to get a picture of what is going on here. The throne is being usurped by Athaliah, and she's stamping out the royal seed, which of course are our own descendants, and she's using sorcery and witchcraft to do this. And while this is going on, here is Jehoshaphat working secretly with the priests to preserve. Now one is trying to destroy and wipe out the royal seed. Do we understand what we're talking about here when we say the royal seed? We're talking about the 42nd generation. We're talking about the generation of the sons of God. We're talking about all of those. Now, we have a heritage in God. This message, and when I say this message, I'm talking about this message of sonship has been delivered to us. That's why we're here gathered together. We don't want to be in the church. We don't want to be a part of the church. We want to adhere and fellowship around this message with those that are involved in this message and that believe this word. And so, while one is trying to destroy the message, destroy the royal seed, wipe out the people of God, the other is working with the Spirit of God to preserve the people of God, the message of God, this message of sonship that we believe. Now, if indeed Israel is a type of the church, then Judah would be a type of the holy place church. Amen? So we have the outer court church, Israel. We have the holy place church, Judah. Now, what has happened here? By sorcery, they took over Israel, the outer court church. Now, by that same sorcery, they're taking over the holy place church. Now, what? Just we have been taught well. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like to me, 2 Thessalonians, when the man of sin sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is a picture of what Athaliah is doing here. And who is Athaliah? Athaliah is the mother of harlots. She represents the epitome of the harlot church trying to take over the throne of God in the holy place people, the holy place church. Now, this Athaliah must be an antichrist type. Amen? She is an antichrist type. Why? Because she wants to sit on the throne. I will ascend. This is like Isaiah 14. I will ascend. I will rule over the sons of God. You can look that up if you like in Isaiah 14. But that's the usurping of the authority over the sons of God. Now, let me stop right here and just say that the battle that we are in, the battle is not natural. The battle is indeed spiritual. And what is happening is we are seeing spirits of darkness that have never been loosed before being released on the earth, and their whole mission is to kill, steal, destroy. And the impetus of their attack is upon the Holy Place Church. Now, I want to go back to Jehu for a minute. And if you look at the character of Jehu, a man of action, he's a man that wants to go out after his enemies and destroy them. And I mean, he's he's ruthless. And yet, he's used as an instrument of God, an instrument of judgment. And I'm going to say this, and Joanne's smiling at me because she knows what I'm going to say here. Jehu is a type of President Trump. Trump, Mark is smiling. Trump is a type of Jehu. and I believe, now whether this man, I'm entitled, okay, this is not thus saith the Lord, but I'm entitled to what I see, my perspective. This man, whether he's a man of God or not, you know, whether he's truly born again, I believe he's a very religious man. I believe he fears God. Whether he's born again or not, I would not touch that one. God, nonetheless, is using Trump like Jehu. And two things. Number one, Trump is bringing judgment down upon wickedness that has been unrestrained. The other thing is, Trump is bringing a period of respite, of relief for the people of God. And so that's all I have to say about my comparison of Jehu and Trump. Now, let's get back to one of the principal players here, Jehoshaphat. This was truly a woman of virtue. And if you would forgive me for my opinion, but I believe what Jehoshaphat is doing here is no less than what Esther did to save the people of God. Esther said, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go before the king, whether I'm called or not. And if I perish, I perish. And of course, you know what Mordecai said. Don't you know that you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's Jehoshaphat. I believe that this woman, Jehoshaphat, is of the same caliber and of the same stock as Esther. Now, what? Let's just digress for a little bit into Esther and say, well, what did Esther do? She preserved the people of God. She preserved the royal seed, and she saved a nation. And she did not fear for her own life. Now, do you see the comparison? Jehoshaphat was a mighty, virtuous woman of God who saw that her life meant nothing. Do you know she could have, if Athaliah would have found out what she was doing, off with her head, she would have been killed. This woman, Athaliah, was out to kill everybody that was against her or that would try to divert her plan of usurping the throne. And Jehoshaphat knew all this. Notice her name. I'm going to read her name again. Jehoshaphat means God is her oath. God is her keeper. Now, I would like to, what prompted me to look into this was a dream that I had. And I shared this dream with some of the brethren. And I don't want to go into all the details of the dream and the principal players in it. But in this dream, I met a brother that I was working with, him and his wife. And it was like we were coming from a meeting and we were going to another place, like we were going over someplace to have a little fellowship after the meeting, and there were other brethren there. Now, this brother and his wife that I was walking with going into this meeting place, I was having a conversation with him. And I told this brother, I said, brother, you're working with people that are not necessarily righteous people that regard this message. And what he was about to do was to kind of work more closely with these other brethren who were not necessarily working with God. We got into this room, and all of the principal players were there. And I turned to this brother, and I called him by name, and I said, brother, we are keepers. We are caretakers of this message. And that's all I said. And that's what I am, the whole gist, the whole thrust of what we're looking at here and what we're trying to say today. All of us here are keepers, caretakers of this message. Do you see, brethren, what we are up against? There is sorcery, witchcraft, spirits being released from hell to destroy this word, this people that adhere to this word. And brethren, we are in a battle royale. And God will have a people. I want you to see this. Everything that could go wrong in Israel, in Judah, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and it went south, and it went very quickly, and all of a sudden, you have a heathen sitting on the throne of Israel, a heathen sitting on the throne of Judah, and now comes Jehu, and he tries to bring judgment and justice, and what happens? Athaliah seizes the opportunity and usurps the throne. Now, look at this scripture with me. Let's see if we can paint the picture. Verse 2. She's a keeper. Her name means a keeper. The daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, who was a small child at that time, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons. Now, all of these king's sons were slain, okay? But she stole him away, him and his nurse, into the bedchamber from Athaliah, that he was not slain. The bedchamber is none other than, and rather than misquote this scripture, I'm going to read this scripture in Isaiah 26. This is Isaiah 26 and verse 20. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until, brethren, every time you see that word until in your Bible, circle it, underline it. It's a very important event. Until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Come, my people. This is exactly, now we can go back to 2 Kings 11. This is exactly the scenario that is happening with Jehoshaphat. She's going into that chamber. And where is that chamber, brethren? Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High God, where we can go and be shut in with God at any time we choose. You know, David, when he took that ark and put it in the tabernacle of David, which was a tent, he went in there frequently, possibly daily, to commune with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. And so can you. So can we. This is the secret place of the Most High, where God hid his son. Which son? The sons of God. The sons of God are hidden away in this place. Now, what's going on? Now, what is going on? For 6 years, Athaliah is bringing all of her sorcery and witchcraft against the people of God to destroy everything, everything that God has brought up to this point. The royal seed, the people of God. Athaliah is trying to destroy it. And while this is going on, God has a people hidden away. Brethren, the 6 years are the 6,000 years. For 6,000 years, from the first lie that the devil told in the garden, all through. Now think about this. There were possibly a billion people on the earth during the time of Noah. Now that's debatable. But there could have been at least a billion people on the face of the earth. And yet, wickedness, evil. Listen, brethren. The same kind of witchcraft, sorcery, spirit power that is being released today, that was released here through Jezebel and Athaliah, is the same spirit power that was released in the days of Noah. Noah had to battle in the spirit every day. Then he was out there building that ark. He had to battle in the spirit because these spirits wanted to wipe out what? The royal seed. What did Noah carry with him and his three sons and their wives and his wife? The royal seed that God would have a people, a special people that would populate the earth. And what did God do? Now, God told Noah concerning the animals on the ark. And he was really talking beyond the animals. He's saying, Noah, I want you to bring them into the ark to do what? To keep them alive. Brethren, this word is life. This message is life. God is saying there must be a people that will preserve this word. I am addressing you. I'm addressing every one of us. You, me, all of us that have been given this message of the kingdom, this message of sonship, are keepers of the message. To keep the message alive, brethren, to keep it going. Jeremy, whether you know it or not, you are a second generation of this word, and Cody is a third generation.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? God has called us to keep this message and to keep this word going forth. Now, just a definition. What sets us apart from those in the church? What is it about this message of sonship? What do you mean? What are you talking about, sonship? What sets us apart is Christ in us, the hope of glory. While others are looking for some mansion in the sky to be carried away, we are looking for the coming forth of the Christ within a people. That, in a nutshell, is the definition of this sonship message that we preach and we believe, which sets us apart from those in the church. We have to preserve, we have to keep this message alive. Preserve it. Okay, let's go on, because we're not making very much progress here. Verse 3. He was hid. He was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. Athaliah did reign over the land. While all of this is going on, Athaliah is wreaking havoc on the church. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and set the rulers over hundreds and the captains and brought them to him into the house, we're in verse 4, into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you shall enter in on the Sabbath and even be keepers of what? Of the watch. What are we watching for? We're watching over, first of all, our own soul. Do you hear me, brethren? The first place that this message must be kept, must be preserved, is in our own soul. We must continue in our daily operations of refreshing. The priests went in and did what? The daily sacrifice. Every morning, every evening. What is that speaking to us? We must go in daily and get refreshing from the Lord. Why? To preserve the message that's been given to us. Amen. You are the keepers of the watch in the king's house, and a third part of you shall be at the gate, and a third part of the gate behind the guard. Watch this, brethren. Watch it. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. We are keepers of the house, keepers of the message. We've been entrusted. Oh my God, brethren. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, help us. I want us, well, let me see if we're done here in Kings. Okay. Keep going. In verse 7, two parts of you shall go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with what? His weapons in his hand. We have been given the weapons of our warfare And the weapons given to us are the weapons sufficient enough for the battle. To do battle in your name. Amen. Now, and so, well, let's finish the story before we move on here. Verse 9, the captains over hundreds did according to the things which Jehoiada the priest commanded. They took every man his men that were come into the Sabbath, and with them that they should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along with the altar of the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, the one that was hidden away, put the crown upon him, gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard this, she said, treason, treason. And they took her out and slew her. And God had his man on the throne. Now, I would like, if you could please, turn with me to Psalm 127. Except, now incidentally, this is a song or psalm of Solomon. You know, David wrote half of them. Somebody had to write the other half. This is one that happened to be of Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Brethren, the Lord is building his house. He's building his temple. And who better to state this than Solomon, who built the temple? But he said, it wasn't me that built it. Solomon had at least the humility enough to recognize that he did not build that temple. It was God. It had to be God. And now he's saying, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman. Who's the keeper? Who's the watchman? You are. Every one of us are keepers, watchmen on the wall to keep and preserve message. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. I could use some of that. Amen. Now I want you to go over to Ezekiel. Chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. And let's go down. Oh, I would love to get into this chapter, but we have to stay on track here. Verse 45. We're in Ezekiel 40. In verse 45. And he said unto me, this chamber, whose prospect is toward the south, is for the priests, the what? Keepers of the charge of the house. And the chamber, whose prospect is toward the north, is for the priests, the keepers of the charge. These are what? The sons of Zadok. Among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. Now, who are the sons of Zadok? The sons of Zadok are the priesthood that's been set apart holy unto the Lord. For what purpose? To preserve and keep the word, to keep the message. Now, if you go back to Jehoshaphat, she was the daughter of the priests of Zadok. And it was the priests of Zadok that worked with Jehoshaphat to overthrow the whole plan of Athaliah, the Antichrist type, wanting to usurp the throne. Where did Athaliah want to rule over? The Holy Place people, the Holy Place church. Where was she sitting? On the throne in the Holy Place. Brethren, we're talking about an attack from hell at the highest magnitude of spirit activity against the sons of God, against this message of sonship. And we have been called to keep this word. Preserve this message. Now, before we move on, I want to go to one more place. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Oop, I'm in John. Matthew chapter 13. Now, let's just look for a minute at this parable down in verse 36. We're in Matthew 13 and verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children. Incidentally, that word there is huios in the Greek, which means sons, which are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Do you see something here? This is the royal seed, the sons of God. And the tares are the sons of the enemy. Ahab, Jezebel, Athaliah, seeking to destroy. And what do they want to do? Any of you have worked the ground know that the tares are there to destroy the crop, the royal seed. Their whole purpose is to suck life that should be going to the royal seed. the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them, verse 39, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Brethren, this is where we are in time. We are at the end of the age, the end of the world. It's harvest time. Oh God, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, this is beyond Jehu. What Jehu did was a mighty act of judgment and justice in the land and destroyed wicked people. But that seed, do you see something? That seed was preserved. Athaliah was on the throne. The children of the wicked were still riding high. Until, brethren, my God. Verse 42, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now I want to go into this next parable. It's a parable, it's one verse long. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. Did you catch that? It was hid in the field, just like Jehosheba hid that royal seed away. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Brethren, the time has come and now is when we are either all in with this message or we are not going to make it. It's not a threat, brethren. I'm telling you that God has a people. Esther was a queen. She came from obscure home and was raised to be queen of the land, of the empire, the whole empire, the whole ruling empire at that time. And she was ready and willing to risk everything to preserve the people of God, the message of God, to preserve what? The royal seed. And Jehosheba was no different. She was putting her life on the line because she saw that little child represented the royal seed, sonship, and it must be preserved, even if it takes my life. Now, brethren, we can say it. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We can quote it. We can say it. But brethren, there's coming a time not far off when it's going to be a reality. We're going to have to put our life on the line. This is the treasure. Do you know what the treasure is? I don't know that any of us could comprehend the depth of this message when it was brought to us. The first time that I sat in a meeting with Brother DeSeele and Sister Mavis and Brother Durfield, Rick Durfield was there, and I heard this word, it was like something that was just piercing my soul. It was like when they read the word, it was like the word was jumping off the page. And when I went to my room that night after being in those meetings, I said, oh my God, I had to grasp what was laid before me, as did you. Why are you here today? Come on, brethren. There have been many that have come and gone in this message. Some of them are in the church. Some of them are in the world. Some of them have taken a false gospel. Why are we still here? Because there has to be something that your soul says, this is a treasure. This is a treasure and I must keep it. I must keep my heart with all diligence. I must keep this word. Brethren, I would like to this message went to the Philippines. This message went to Africa. This message went to Europe. It went all over the world. I believe Brother Mark and I have traveled at least 5 continents together. But brethren, there must be those in every place that this word has gone that see the treasure, the value of this word. It's beyond rubies. You can't put a price tag to it. It's priceless. You can't put a price to this message. This message is not only worth living for, it's worth dying for. Amen. We must come to that place. I was in a coffee shop down in Texas, run by a Christian couple, and she had a little plaque, and the plaque said, find something worth living for and die for it. This gospel of the kingdom, this message of sonship, is not only worth living for, it's worth dying for. And you, every one of you, are called of God, commissioned of God to be caretakers, keepers of this message, watchmen. What are we watching? The first thing I'm doing, I'm watching for my own soul. And I'm also watching for the wolf that wants to come and destroy the sheep. I don't know that we can go any farther. Brethren, I want to say something of how this message is being preserved and how those who are preserving it are keepers, watchmen on the walls. Some of you get the sunlight devotion. And it's a daily devotion, sometimes a Saturday message of Brother DeSales. Sister Pavlina is a watchman. Do you understand? She's one of the watchmen that sends out the word to keep the message alive. Keep the message going forth. Now, there are brethren that may be listening to this message in other parts of the country or the world. Some of my brethren, I can see some of my brethren there in London gathering. I can see our brethren that are in Nebraska gathering. We have brethren in Dubuque that are gathering. And when Dubuque has a Tuesday night prayer line that has opened up other fellowships around the country. And what has happened is it has become a gathering place to keep alive the message, to preserve the word. Brethren, this Zoom meeting is a gathering of sons of God that believe the message of sonship, that Christ is coming in a people, and that his kingdom is within. You, each one of us, are called as keepers, caretakers, watchmen, to keep this message alive. So, brethren, may we be encouraged, because as hopeless as it looked, and I want you to kind of picture this, kind of bring it all together. As hopeless as it looked, all the royal seed was being destroyed. Athaliah was riding high. He was sitting on the throne in the holy place, church. Judah. But God had keepers, watchmen, caretakers, who preserve the message, preserve the word, and were ready to lay down their life, to risk their life. This is what we're called to, brethren. We are caretakers of this precious word that's been given to us. May we be diligent with what has been delivered unto us. God bless you, brethren. In Jesus' name. Thank you for